Fritz's remarks related to the theory of strategy. He recognized that in practice armies might avoid battles, but even then the efficacy of their actions relied on the latent threat of fighting. Winston Churchill saw the importance of battles in different terms, not for their place within war, but for their impact on historical and national narratives. His forebear, the Duke of Marlborough, commanded in four major battles and named his palace after the most famous of them, Blenheim, fought in 1704. Battles, Churchill wrote in his Life of Marlborough, are the principal milestones in secular history. For him, great battles, won or lost, change the entire course of events, create new standards of values, new moods, new atmospheres, in armies and nations to which all must conform. Clausewitz's experience of war was shaped by Napoleon. Like Marlborough, the French emperor sought to bring his enemies to battle. However, each lived within a century of the other, and they fought their wars in the same continent, and even on occasion on adjacent ground. Winston Churchill's own experience of war, which spanned the late 19th century colonial conflicts of the British Empire, as well as two world wars, became increasingly distanced from the sorts of battle he and Clausewitz described. In 1898, Churchill rode in a cavalry charge in a battle which crushed the Mahdist forces of the Sudan in a single day. 4 years later, the British commander at Omdurman, Lord Kitchener, brought the South African War to a conclusion after a two-year guerrilla conflict in which no climatic battle occurred. Both Churchill and Kitchener served as British cabinet ministers in the First World War, a conflict in which battles lasted weeks and even months, and which, despite their scale and duration, did not produce clear-cut outcomes. The Battle of Verdun ran for all but 1 month of 1916, and that of the Somme for 5 months. The potentially decisive naval action at Jutland spanned a more traditional 24-hour timetable, but was not conclusive and was not replicated during the war. In the Second World War, the major struggle in waters adjacent to Europe, the Battle of the Atlantic, was fought from 1940 to early 1944. Clausewitz would have called these 20th century battles campaigns, or even seen them as wars in their own right. The determination to seek battle and to venerate its effects may therefore be culturally determined, the product of time and place, rather than an inherent attribute of war. The ancient historian Victor Davis Hanson has argued that seeking battle is a Western way of war, derived from classical Greece. Seemingly supportive of his argument are the writings of Sun Tzu, who flourished in warring states in China between 2 and 5 centuries before the birth of Christ, and who pointed out that the most effective way of waging war was to avoid the risks and dangers of actual fighting. Hanson has provoked strong criticism. Those who argue that wars can be won without battles are not only to be found in Asia. 18th century European commanders, deploying armies in close order formations in order to deliver concentrated fires, realized that the destructive consequences of battle for their own troops could be self-defeating. After the First World War, Basil Liddell Hart developed a theory of strategy which he called the indirect approach, and suggested that maneuver might substitute for hard fighting, even if its success still relied on the inherent threat of battle. The winners of battles have been celebrated as heroes, and nations have used their triumphs to establish their founding myths. It is precisely for these reasons that their legacies have outlived their direct political consequences. Commemorated in painting, verse, and music, marked by monumental memorials, and used as the waypoints for the periodization of history, they have enjoyed cultural afterlives. These are evident in many capitals, in place names and statues, not least in Paris and London. The French tourist who finds himself in a London taxi, travelling from Trafalgar Square to Waterloo Station, should reflect on his or her own domestic peregrinations, from the Rue de Rivoli to the Gare d'Austerlitz. Today's Mongolia venerates the memory of Genghis Khan, while Greece and Macedonia scrap over the rights to Alexander the Great. This series of books on great battles tips its hat to both Clausewitz and Churchill. Each of